The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Life Streams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
I don't know if you saw those photos as they were going through, but just photos about people who have been baptised in the last few months here. Some in here, some in their own swimming pool. A good shot of Angus McFarlane with his shirt off there, going for it. Good to baptise your kids. You know, baptisms are fantastic, and we're going to do a series over the next, today and next week, Rod's sharing next week, and on the whole aspect of baptism. And they're for all of us. You know, for those of us who have been baptised, I don't know about you, but it's always exciting when we think about baptism. And for those of you that haven't, well, hopefully it'll give you something to actually help you to get clearer in terms of what baptism's all about. So they're for all of us. But it's always good, if you've been baptised, to reflect on your own baptism and to reflect on what it was like, what happened for you. You know, baptism is a significant event in a Christian's life, significant time of our life. And there are some funny things that happen in baptisms. I know a number of years ago I was doing a baptism. It was Alex and Cherry Chan. They're not here this service. They'll be here second service. But Alex was from Hong Kong. Cherry was from Thailand. They met at an overseas Christian fellowship camp, and both gave their lives to Christ at that camp. That was in the July holidays at uni. And they were coming along to our church after that, and they wanted to get baptised. So it was about August. And back then in the early 90s, we used to have Sunday night services, and they wanted to get baptised at Sunday night service. I happened to be down in Esperance for the weekend they wanted, but I said, I'll be back for the Sunday night. And they said, oh, that'd be great. So I got one of my friends who, he's in the service this morning, I won't name him, but I said, can you fill the baptistry for me? And he said, yeah, not a problem. So I get back at about 6:45 before the service, and he said to me, he said, Dave, the water was cold. I said, cold? And I said, so what did you do? And he said, well, I filled it with cold water. I said, mate, it's August. It's like today. I said, it's August. And he goes, yeah. And I said to Alex and Cherry, I said, the water's actually cold. And they said, oh, that'll be all right. And I thought, can't be all right at all. And you know what it's like when you walk into water and it's freezing and it starts to grab your legs, and I'm thinking, these guys are going under. And so we're standing there, and the idea was we'd baptise Alex first and then we'd baptise Cherry with the things in between. So we're talking and I can hear them getting a bit cold already, so I baptise Alex, and then he's standing behind me and I'm chatting to Cherry. Cherry's taking a confession of faith. And all I can hear behind me is, so I thought, he's going to die. And afterwards he goes, I think God has something for me that is big. Poor old Alex. It was a memorable time. He never forgets it. Another time we were doing one Sunday night, we had four people getting baptized. And one was a really old lady. We used to have a number of older people to come to the night service. It was mostly young people, but a lot of the older people had come, or a few older people had come in a bus. They'd sit about there. They're not old there now, right? But that's all right. And this old lady wanted to get baptised. And I thought that'd be great. So I'm in there, and she comes down, and she's got a shower cap on. And I thought, she's going to get wet. I mean, shower caps would protect your hair, I think, when you're having a shower. So she comes down, and I thought, all right, we'll see what happens. And so the idea was she was just going to kneel down, and I was just going to baptise her. Anyway, so she actually just bent over. And so she's below the level of the brick, so I just had my hand resting on her. So everyone else here thought I was holding her under. And so I'm thinking, she's not going down. So finally I just went, pushed her. And she comes up, and the shower cap's floating over here. So I sort of grabbed the cap and helped her out. Baptism's a serious thing. One of my mates in the States, he said he was in this little country church out in the middle of the back block somewhere in the US, and he said there's a baptism, and And that church, they only had the one room. There was no rooms at the back. So when they had baptisms, they just strung a curtain across. And so you get changed behind the curtain, and the baptistry was on the platform. You lift the thing out and just have it there. And he said this, an older gentleman was getting baptized this particular night. Oh, he wasn't really like 80 or anything. He was about my age. And he's getting baptized this night. And the pastor was about similar age, maybe a bit older. And they'd done the baptism. And as they're getting dressed at the end, he's sort of putting his pants on, you know, and he's starting to lose his balance. And he's starting to fall, so he grabs the curtains. And the whole lot comes down. And they're standing there in states of undress, so they both went in the baptistry again. But baptisms are a serious thing. But sometimes you've got to chuckle. Many things that happen in baptisms. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that it's good to laugh. A lot of things happen in our world that don't make us laugh. It's good to laugh. It's good to be reminded of who it is that we worship, a God who is a God of redemption, a God who is our love, a God who is full of grace and mercy. Father, thanks that you love us. And Father, we thank you for this sacrament of baptism. Lord, we've celebrated the sacrament of communion this morning, of remembering Jesus, his death, resurrection. Father, we thank you. So now as we share on this baptism topic, I pray that you would speak in such a way that we all hear it, either in the fact that we are encouraged and excited or challenged to actually be baptized. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when you think about baptism, you think, well, where did this thing called baptism come from? There's always, in most religions, there's some aspect of cleansing, of using water to cleanse. I mean, a lot of the non-Christian religions have different forms of water cleansing. They don't call it baptism necessarily. In the Old Testament, there was, for the priests, there was a lot of ceremonial washing that they had to be cleansed before they could actually perform their priestly duty. Once again, not called baptism, but it was a ceremonial washing. In the time of Moses, when people were actually sick or for whatever reason, they were put outside the camp to actually come back into the gathering, they had to be cleansed. There was a water cleansing. They had to go through a process. If a person touched a dead body, then they needed to go through a ceremonial cleansing. Once again, it wasn't called baptism, but it was a ceremonial washing before they could actually come in, before they were clean again. Even the Gentiles, first century Gentiles, if they wanted to, for whatever reason, become a Jew, there was a number of things they had to do. One was circumcision. But then there was a ceremonial washing that would happen to cleanse them of their Gentileness type thing. And then along comes John the Baptist. And obviously, first time we use the phrase baptism. John the Baptist comes along, and he's the first one we know or we read about who was actually doing baptisms by that name. But as I said, water cleansing and washing, ceremonial washing, was very familiar, so it wasn't something out of the ordinary. And John came along with this baptism of repentance. You know, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. In other words, be clean for the coming of the Lord, washing of sins. In Matthew 3, we read when Jesus came to John to be baptized. And he says this, it says this in John 3:13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. Obviously, Jesus didn't need to have his sins washed away. He didn't need to be cleansed. He didn't need to be baptized, but he chose to. And it's almost like he's saying, I'm going to be asking everyone who follows me to do this. I am establishing a new way. I'm setting something up which is different. It's an indication that they are following me. He led the way for us. And I often say to people, you know, if Jesus was baptized and he didn't need to be, then why on earth would I choose to not be? So then as it goes on through the Gospels, we see that the disciples were then baptizing people. Jesus never did baptize people. I mean, in John 4 it says, verse 1, now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized but his disciples. I mean, you can imagine, whether Jesus thought about this or not, he probably did, but imagine the complications that would occur if Jesus baptized people. You know, you got some guy here saying, hey, I've been baptized by Jesus. You only got baptized by Peter. You only got baptized by John. But I got baptized by Jesus. I am way above you. It's not about that. It's not about that. And so Jesus always had the disciples doing the baptizing. Always the disciples. And it's the same with us. We always encourage disciples to baptize people. Doesn't have to be a minister. Actually, we encourage people to say, look, who has made a significant impact in your spiritual journey? Who is someone that's discipled you? Who led you to Christ? Who is the one that has impacted you? Get them to baptize you. Now, sometimes we as staff do it, but it certainly doesn't have to be that way. Because the key thing is not who baptizes you, but who you are baptized into. You're baptized into Christ. So then after the death and the resurrection of Jesus, as we move through the Gospels, we get the Great Commission, which some of you will know fairly well. Matthew 28, then Jesus came to them, came to the disciples and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of this age. So Jesus is here commissioning the disciples, as they are going through life, be about making disciples. Be about making disciples. And he clarifies two things. One is baptize them and teach them. You know, some people, and some churches do this as well, that some people are very thingy about baptism unless they have an understanding of everything there is. And I think the order here of baptizing and teaching, I mean, obviously it's good to know what baptism is all about, but you don't have to know everything there is to know about the Christian faith. You don't have to be a mature disciple to be baptized. Baptism is something that I believe is very, it's an indication of our, we're born. It's a thing that we say, yep, I'm going to do. I mean, even as I look through the New Testament, in Acts, you've got Day of Pentecost, 241, you've got 3,000, around about 3,000 people professed Christ that day and were baptized. So there wasn't a matter of, okay, well, let's put them through a discipleship training course for a few months or weeks or years. They confessed faith then and were baptized then. Many other people baptized through the book of Acts. You know, the longest time in the New Testament that we see between when a person is converted and when they're baptized is 3 days. And that is the Apostle Paul. Every other situation, it's conversion, baptism. Bang, bang. And I think in some ways we have moved a bit from that. But that's okay. I mean, even in my situation, I grew up in Harvey, a little country town, and was part of a Church of Christ there, and conversion and baptisms were a part of the church, and I remember being raised in a Christian family, and so every Sunday at church you'd always get the opportunity for conversion. And finally, when I was 14, I made that step of faith on the Sunday night, and during the week the minister comes around, chats to me about the baptism which was happening the next Sunday. So it would always be that case. Make a decision in some way and you were baptized the next week. It wasn't like a question of, what if I don't want to? It was just a part of the culture. Some churches, they say, right, we want you, they've got the baptistry always full. You make a commitment, right, let's go. Doesn't always work with the logistics because you want friends to be there and things like that. There is a document that John Bond has put together, which we use and I just give to people when they are interested in baptism. It's out at the info desk or in the flyers out there. You can grab one. If you haven't been baptized or if you have been baptized but you know friends who are thinking about it or you hope they think about it, then you can take one of those and hand that to them. It's a good read and it pulls apart a little bit more than some of what I will share with here. So basically the word baptize or baptism, the Greek word is baptizo, and it really means to immerse, which is this whole aspect of going under, of being totally immersed in water. And it was a very common word that day, and that's why we choose to fully immerse people in baptism rather than sprinkling or pouring a bit of water over them. We actually choose to fully immerse them. Not always possible, particularly with frail age people, not always possible, but that's what we try and do. And as you are probably aware, there's many different perspectives and contentions even about baptism, opinions about what baptism is and how important it is and what about this and what about that. I'll attempt to answer a few. First of all, does water baptism save you? No. That's my gut feel and my theological viewpoint is the water baptism doesn't save you. Really, baptism is an outward declaration of the inner conversion. Okay, it's an outward declaration of what's happened on the inside. There's nothing magical in the water. There are some people, there is a theology called baptismal regeneration, which they do hold to the fact that baptism saves you, water baptism saves you. Don't believe that. They say you must be baptized by immersion to be saved. I think there are many verses that indicate clearly that belief in Christ, faith in Christ, is what saves you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have eternal life. So that's what we hold to here. That obviously baptism is important, but it doesn't save you. Okay? Baptism is a faith step. It's a step that honors God. It's a faith, it's an obedience step where we choose to obey God in what he's asking. And one guy said it's like a welcome into the family hug. A wet hug, anyway. It's a welcome into the family. Another person said, I experienced God's pleasure when I was baptized. Really, it's an identification with Christ, with our life. You know, in Romans 6, Paul talks about this. Verse 1, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So there you have a picture of being buried. It's like buried. Buried in the water is buried. Identification with the death and the burial of Jesus Christ. And then as you come up out of the water, there's the identification with the new life, the resurrection life that is in Christ. Beautiful picture of the gospel baptism is. I was chatting to one of my friends during the week, and he became a Christian when he was 40. And he'd come out of a fairly pagan background, no hint of Christianity in his background. And through a few friends, he came to Christ. And I said, what was baptism for you? And he said, it was a real day of breakthrough. A real day of breakthrough. He said, for me, it was a serious declaration. A declaration. A very strong statement. He said, it's a statement that's saying, I want you guys to know I'm in. I'm in. I believe in Jesus Christ. I know him as my personal Savior and Lord. And I thought, that's a good picture. It's a strong declaration. I'm in. I'm in. I'm committed to this. So what about christening or sprinkling babies? How does that fit in with our understanding? Well, it's not wrong, obviously. But we don't see any example of it in Scripture. I'm not saying, I was talking to one of my Anglican friends a number of years ago, and he said, you won't find it in Scripture, but we do it because. And I thought, well, that's okay. But it's not what we believe the Bible is talking about in baptism, which is this immersing in of a believer, of a person who has chosen to give their life to Christ. But at this church, we value babies. You may have seen we often do baby dedications, doing one next week. And a baby dedication, we see, does fit in biblically. I mean, it's never a problem to pray for anyone, is it? I mean, we prayed for Jason and Cindy this morning going on a mission trip, and we see that biblically. But we can still pray for anyone. But for babies, I believe it's an important thing. I mean, Samuel's parents took him as an infant to the temple to be dedicated. Jesus' parents took him to the temple to be dedicated, prayed for by the priest. We value babies and we dedicate them, we pray for them, and we pray for their parents. So what age can a person be baptized? I mean, can a child be baptized? Of course they can. Of course they can. I mean, you saw a few photos of young children that have been baptized. But once again, it's believers' baptism. It's where they've come to a point of saying, I want to be baptized. So whether they're 4, 5, 6, 8, it's okay. Come to a point of saying, we want to be baptized. You know, because it's based on their confession of faith. It's not based on what I think should happen, or what a parent thinks should happen. It's based on their confession of faith. And Jesus spoke very positively about children's faith. He even encouraged us as adults to become like little children in their faith. Not childish, but childlike. To become like them in their faith. So how it works is if a child wants to be baptized, they usually talk to a parent or to their kids' ministry person. And then there's usually some sort of partnering with each other, parents, children, kids, men, and we chat about it. It's a great opportunity. So as parents, if you're a parent of young kids or of older kids, I'd really encourage you to fan the flame on that discussion. My mum was a bit heavy on this. She used to often hound me on the way home from church on a Sunday night. I remember one night she turned around and she says, don't you want to be a good little Christian boy? And I thought, not really. Not if you're going to hound me like that. I was a little bit mischievous at that time. So I don't mean exasperate our kids, but fan the flame on and encourage them to think through, what does it mean to be in Christ? What does baptism mean? If they ask questions about, don't say, oh, you're too young. Open it up. It's a great possibility. Open it up. Talk it through. But really, I guess for children being baptized, it's the parents' call at the end of the day. And a number of situations where non-Christian parents have said, we don't want you to get baptized, to a child or to a teenager, and we've said, obey your parents. At 18, you are then an adult, you can make a decision. One person came to me once, and we were talking about it, and they'd been christened as a baby. And they said, well, do I need to be baptized for immersion? But she had actually been convicted by the Spirit that she did. They'd started coming to our church. And she said to me, if I get baptized by immersion as an adult, what does it say about the past 30 years of my life as a Christian? Because she was baptized or christened as a baby, confirmed, and then 20, 30 years. And she's saying, what does it say about that time? And I said, well, what it means is that you are now aware the Spirit's actually speaking to you about immersion, baptism by immersion as a believer, and you are aware of it, and you are choosing to take a step of faith and obedience and doing it. I said, don't discount it. You're not upsetting God. You're not doing anything like that. She was baptized. You know, sometimes for younger people whose parents have had them christened, they find that when they want to be baptized by immersion, that sometimes the parents get a bit put off by that, and they say, "Wait a minute, what wasn't what we did for you good enough?" And so I say to them, look, it's an opportunity to dialogue about it. At least it opens up the discussion. At least chat through it. So does getting baptized as a believer really make a difference? Does it make any difference? Is it just something that happens and then we just keep going on with life? You know, because I see it as an obedience step, obedience always opens the door in some way for God to move. In the same way that disobedience, sin, whatever disobedience might look like in your life, it in some way hinders what God is doing. Whenever we disobey God, it hinders in some way. It doesn't stop, but it hinders what God is doing. And it sort of causes dramas to us as well. So for me, being baptized is an obedient step. So it's always going to open the door for God to move. Don't always guarantee how or what it's going to happen, but it's going to change some things. I remember talking to June Angus, and June's part of our church, good friend, and she'd came out of an Anglican background, came to our church back in the old building. Her husband got radically converted and then died of a heart attack. But in between getting converted and dying of a heart attack, he'd had a heart attack. He then made a point of going to every person he'd ever worked with or lived near and told them the gospel. And then he died of a heart attack in 88. So June was a widow, and we discussed baptism, and she said, no, I don't want to get baptized. No, that's all right. And then one day she came to me and she said, I want to be baptized. I said, great. We talked about it. So she got baptized on a particular Sunday. Now her son, she had two sons and a daughter. Her son, eldest son, was very, very dark. You know, almost like a hermit, quiet, lived in his room, very quiet, listened to wild sort of rock music. It just took him into, he's in dark places, very depressed. She gets baptized on the Sunday. Thursday night, she's going for a walk with her son, James. And he says to her, Mum, I think God's chasing me. One long before he got converted, baptized, and he's going strong with the Lord now. It's 20 odd years later. Now, was that connected with June's baptism? I don't know. But I just find it interesting that it happened. Nothing had been happening. She gets baptized, she obeys, and suddenly her son gets radically converted. Who knows? I remember Andy Freeman. Andy was a Pakistani Muslim, came here a few years ago, and I can't remember his actual name. It was Andy something. Anyway, he wanted to get baptized. And he got baptized here, and he wanted to change his name to Free Man, because he said, I am now a free man in Christ. So he's Andy Freeman now. And he said, when he got baptized, he said there was just, as he was under the water, he just saw light. He said, there's just this light that just shot off everywhere. He said, I couldn't believe it. I thought someone had shone a spotlight in there. He said, it's just this light shot through the baptistry. Does everyone experience that? No, they don't. But all I'm saying is obedience opens the door for God to move and to speak in ways that may surprise you. When I was baptized, nothing radically happened that I could see. And that may be your testimony as well. But who knows? I mean, I'm standing here preaching at the moment, so maybe some stuff did happen. Never know what God is doing. You know, I say to people who are thinking about getting baptized, because some people are scared, they say, I don't want to be the center of attention. I said, you know, when a person gets baptized, everyone that's watching is impacted. I said, if they're like me, someone who's a Christian and been baptized, we're just thrilled to the hilt. We're just rapt at what's going on. Love it. If they're like you, a person who's a Christian but not yet been baptized, then they are challenged to at least think, well, what's happening for me? And if they're not a Christian, they're actually given a beautiful picture of the gospel right there. And they can then think, oh, okay. And God will use that. God will use that to speak into their life. So whenever there's a baptism, everyone's impacted. Everyone. Unfortunately, many Western Christians see baptism as an optional extra. It's something that, oh yeah, I might get to it one day. I might do it one day. But in other cultures and places, it's very serious. It's even seen by other cultures as the defining point. And it can mean a life and death situation. Now, we've always had overseas students here, and a number of years ago we had a guy who was from Malaysia, a man called Bernard. And he came into my office one day and he said, look, he'd become a Christian in Perth at university through OCF and he wanted to be baptised. But he said, I haven't told my parents that I'm a Christian yet. And he said, if I tell them I'm getting baptised, they may cut off all my support and I might have to leave my university course. He said, what should I do? And I said, mate, I can't tell you what to do here. I can just say, this is something you're going to have to decide on. I said, obviously God loves it when we obey him, but the cost for you could be great. Let's just trust God and we'll see what happens. So we prayed. The next week he says to me, I can't believe it. My mother rang that night. And she said, we're talking. He said, we're talking. And she says to me, are you a Christian? So I nearly dropped the phone. And he said, I was, where did that come from? He's thinking. And he goes, I am. And she said, why have you done this to us? You know, why have you done this? Why have you brought disrepute onto our family? Blah, blah, blah. And then she said, have you been baptized? And he goes, no, but I want to be baptized soon. And she goes into another tirade. He said, I couldn't believe it. He said, we've just prayed, talked about this, and she asked all these questions. I couldn't hide from it. I had to bring it out. He got baptized. His parents didn't pull him back. He went back for holidays in the summer. And he's got a brother who had become a Christian as well, who's still living in Malaysia. And they're in the home on this particular Sunday. And the parents looked at him and said, Bernard, you can go to the church because you've been baptized. To the brother, they said, but you're coming to the temple with us because you haven't been baptized yet. They saw it as the dividing line. Once you've been baptized, we can't get to you. They saw it very clearly. Another time at one of the Sunday night services, there was a man some of you might have known, Dr. Alan Nelson was his name. He'd been a doctor, grown up in a uniting church, and just a great man. He used to come along to our Sunday nights, just lived in South Perth as a retired gentleman. And one night he said to me, David, he said, I want to get baptized. I've never been baptized by immersion. I said, great, let's do it. So one night we're in there and the water was warm. and he's got his son in there to help him. And he's like 80. And so he's going down like this. And I can still remember him saying, come on, knee bend. Come on, knee bend. And I thought, what a great picture of humility. Come on, knee bend. And maybe for some of you, that's what God is asking you to do. To bend the knee. To bend the knee in humility and say, I don't know why I've been putting baptism off. But it is about humbling ourselves. It's about obedience. It's about declaring something. So maybe God is saying to you, come on, knee bend. I pray that you will obey that. Now we've got baptisms on next Sunday. Opportunity for you to be baptized next Sunday. We've got baptisms the Sunday after. The water's there, it's full and it's warm. In faith. If you haven't been baptized and you're in Christ, go for it. Go for it. We'd love to chat to you. Grab one of these. Have a read. Maybe have a listen again to what I've said online or meet with one of us. and chat about it. But don't put it off. John Bond loves to say, postponed obedience is current disobedience. Don't put it off. Go for broke. Bend the knee. Humble yourself and say, you're right, I'm going to go for it. Who knows what God may do in and through your life because of your step of faith? Who knows? And once again, if you don't want to talk to us, write it on a care card and we'll follow you up. Okay? If you're not a Christian and this is sort of making a little bit of sense, we'd love to chat more with you. You see, this whole aspect of baptism is a great picture of what the gospel is all about. The identification with the death and the burial of Christ and the rising up to new life. Jesus Christ died for you. He died that you would experience life, not just life eternal in terms of heaven, but life to the max on this earth, where you understand something of your purpose and your destiny. Okay? Come on, knee bend. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are a God who, you practice what you preach. Jesus came into a world, taught and went through the cross, went through the humility of that, the humiliation of that. He was baptized. He rose again. And Father, thank you. The only God who does that, the only God who has ever done that, who came down and became the sacrifice. Father, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus. Father, I just pray for each one of us here this morning that there'd be something that you've said that will have some eternal consequences. So I pray that we'll respond to what you've said to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As Rod said, in your community life, you've got a little care card. You can fill those out and indicate, yep, I'd like to talk to someone about being baptized. You can do that, or you can put a prayer request on there. Anything you want prayer for, we'd love to pray into that. We have got prayer tonight. Tonight we are praying from 5:30 to 6:30. The young adult service starts at 6:30. But tonight we're praying into the kids and families. It's a focused prayer tonight, praying for kids and families. So if you have got a passion for kids, then come along 5:30 and pray with us for the children of our church and our community. Love you to be here with us. If you're new with our church today, then we do have a new friends area just on that side of the cafe at the back there. Feel free to go there, meet some friendly people, and have some great food and a coffee. And adding to that, we do have a new friends lunch on next Sunday. So if you're new to our church, been here the last couple of months, then there's information in the community life about it. Love you to come along to the new friends lunch, but you do need to let us know so we can cater. Okay? And there's people who will be down the front to pray for you. Any aspect of prayer you want. There'll be people down here who'll pray. And please make the most of them. If you want to chat about baptism with anyone, with myself or anyone else, then please feel free to come and chat about that as well. So God bless you. Have a great day.